Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Why don't we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you. We are here together to learn and to be trained. We are, Father, the soldiers of Christ. We want to make a difference in this generation. We want to build your church. We want to train disciples so that they can preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and cast out demons, go out, save souls, build the kingdom of God, Father. Lord, help all of us to be the kind of Christian you want us to be. We ask your Holy Spirit to anoint us, and we ask that the revelation from God will come to understand this subject, spiritual mentoring or discipleship. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This will be the last lesson on spiritual mentoring. It will be a short one, the last session about mentoring. You have learned already that there are three kinds of mentoring. I know that a lot of things that we have learned for many times are new to us. And you may not remember all what I say in the past few classes. So please get the CD or get the material from us and read, meditate on it, listen to the teaching again and again to understand about mentoring. Jesus said that we have to make disciples. Go preach the gospel and make disciples all over the world. It's a great commission. It's a command of Jesus Christ. And if we don't fully understand how to make disciples or mentoring people, we cannot obey the command of Jesus Christ. That's why every believer needs to understand how to help other people to grow, how to mentor people, how to empower other people, and help people to be even better than us in the next generation. Our expectation is to see next generation better than us. Is that right? And we can pass on to them, impart to them everything that we have learned. We don't want to waste whatever we learn from God, all the experiences, all the knowledge away. We want to pass the baton to the next generation as much as we can. It would be very sad if our kids and our young believers in the next generation, one day we're going to grow old and we will pass to be in heaven. But after this generation, if our kids and our young believers or future leaders don't know how to lay hand, how to preach the gospel, how to make disciples, how to run care groups, how to move in the Holy Spirit, how to teach the Word of God and read the Bible, it will be very sad. Because we have learned so much from God, but then the next generation don't know anything about it. It just kind of disappear into the ground. And it's such a waste of what God have done in our life. One of the success of being a servant of God is to be able to impart and to empower and to pass what you learn to the next generation, to our kids and to the younger believers. We have learned that there are three kinds of mentoring. Active mentoring. There are three kinds of active mentoring. Number one, discipler, to help young believers to become a disciple. Number two, spiritual guide, which means to help the young believers who already become disciples to grow into maturity. And you can review this thing through the lesson or through the CD. Listen to the CD. And number three, coach. Coach specifically to train how to the skill, how to serve God specifically, what to do in the service, like how to lead worship, how to play guitar, how to run the care group, all about skills, about ability, about what to do. And then we have occasional mentoring, like sponsors, teachers, and counselor. And I don't want to go through that anymore because we have learned in detail. Today, I would like to talk about the last thing called passive mentoring. Passive mentoring is also necessary in the body of Christ. In fact, God used all these methods that we talk about, the active mentoring, occasional mentoring, and passive mentoring in helping his people to grow. Again, his purpose is to see everybody grows into the maturity, into the fullness of Christ. And that should be our expectation. That should be our faith, that everyone who comes to our church will not stay stagnant, will not be the same, but they all will grow into maturity of Christ. And all of us can be used by God to mentor people in a different way, at different timing. Some of us may be active mentor, some of us may be occasional mentor, some of us may be both, but at the different settings. And some of us may be passive mentors. What does it mean, passive mentor? It's like a distant mentor. It's loose mentoring. We don't have the direct contact. It's indirect mentoring. Even though you get active and occasional mentoring, or you provide active and occasional mentoring to God's people in the church, but for the enrichment of their heart and their life, for the empowerment of their life, passive mentoring also is needed. And there are three kinds of passive mentoring. And when I mention, I think you will agree that all of you have been impacted or empowered by this kind of mentoring as well. You may not even know it. You may not even notice it. You may not even think about it, but you have been impacted by this way of mentoring by somebody else unknowingly. The first kind we call contemporary mentor. Contemporary mentor mean leadership in the body of Christ who have a sphere of influence around him. He may not have a direct contact to people, but by observation, by looking at the lifestyle, the ministry, how he talks, how he acts, how he ministers, people around under his influence or her influence will learn from this leader indirectly. And many, many things that I learned in my life come from this passive mentoring. I learned how to preach from many preachers. In fact, I learned how to preach from Pastor Kenneth Hagin. Learn how to preach from Derek Prince, from Pastor Rodney. I learned how to preach even from many, many pastors around the world. I listen to them and I learn what they say, how they go about to get the point, how they inspire people, how they move in the anointing when they preach, how they listen to the Holy Spirit. I either watch videotape, I remember around 1995 to 1997, I watched a lot of tape from an evangelist who have a big meeting in America and all over the world. And I watch his TV program every night at around 10:30 p.m. I watch and I want to learn how this man moved in the Holy Spirit. And I see the healing happen in the meeting and I say, God, I like to see that in my church. I like to see healing in my church. I want to see the power of God. So I learn and see how he really ministered under the anointing, how he preached the word of God, how he come up to the microphone and start to preach and see the movement of the Holy Spirit in the meeting. Then I learn how Pastor Derek Prince expound the Bible, how he understand the Bible and explain in a simple way. So I learned from these people, even though I did not know them personally. I never even talked to them. I never even shook hands with them. But I learned from video, from tape, from CD, from watching, from some program in the TV. Learn from these people because they are the leaders in the body of Christ. When I was in a denomination, I remember watching this top man of the denomination preaching on the pulpit, getting people saved. How he get people accept Christ in a meeting. How he lead people to Christ. I learned all these things by just watching and observing these people. And I believe that all of you have done the same way. You learn from people around you. You learn from leaderships. Good things and you learn bad things as well. Because all the leaders have good parts and weak parts. Definitely, we don't want to imitate the bad parts or the weak parts. We want to imitate the good parts. And that's our job to differentiate the good and the bad, or the positive and the negative, the strong point and the weak point. And then we only try to learn from the positive part. How many people agree that it's a normal human nature to imitate somebody? So you can see that you imitate each other unknowingly. The anointing imparted into your life, how to preach and how to walk in the Holy Spirit. I remember when I went to Tampa, Florida many years ago, I think 1997, Pastor Da and I were sitting there in a meeting. And we were so inspired because we remember that we used to listen to the sermon that have about 10 points. And we went out of the room and we could not remember anything out of the 10 points at all. But that day when we listened to the sermon and the preacher talked about only 2 points, but he kept pounding and pounding for 1 hour. We left the room and we remember everything. And then we look at each other's eyes and we learn that the reason we remember, not because of the less points, don't misunderstand my explanation here, but because the man was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we began to watch how this man moved in the Holy Spirit, how he preached under the anointing. And after I learned that, it's so hard to go back to listen to the preacher who just preached with the knowledge, without the anointing. Because you get used to the person who moved in the Holy Spirit and the rivers of life move out of his mouth and you get that life come to you by the word of God. So I want to be like that. I say, God, I want to preach like that. I want to preach with the anointing come out from my mouth. The word of God come out with the rivers, with the fire come out of me. So that people, life will be touched and changed. You can see that we learn from one another. The dangerous part of this kind of mentor is if the mentors themselves have a lot of weak points, they may have a lot of anointing, but they have kind of weak points in their life. And then the mentorees or the disciple picked up those negative things unknowingly and do the same thing again. For example, if the mentor, a very money-oriented person, always want to get money, even though he may have such a big anointing, then everyone under gonna look for money too, because it pick up some negative thing. That's why I want to encourage all of you who are leaders in the church. This is a big responsibility. If you are in the position of care group leaders or directors or pastors or preachers or anything that you have a sphere of influence, you need to watch your life carefully. You may say, you know, I don't care people. I don't tell people to do like me. I don't tell them to follow my bad example. But even though you don't say it or you don't try to tell them to do like you, but people will watch you and imitate you unknowingly. And that will cause a lot of problems later on because people watch how you walk, how you talk, how you handle your spouse, how you handle your kids, how you resolve the problem, how you handle the problems. If you are a moody person, always emotional, then people will pick that up and they may do the same thing as well. So you have to really be careful of walking in the spirit every day, not walking in the flesh. Because once you walk in the flesh, people are going to pick it up and they're going to do the same thing. The whole church is going to be the same way. What an awesome responsibility. You need to stand in awe before God and say, God, help me to be good example to people around me as a contemporary mentor. Amen. We all learn from one another. The ministry experience, the life example, the characters, the principle in life, we learn from contemporary mentor. The second kind of passive mentoring is we call historical mentor. With the today's technology, we can watch videotape or DVD of the minister who died in the past, who already died, but you still can watch their life through the videotape. Or you can read their biography through books. Like a lot of people like to read the book of Smith Wigglesworth about how he moved in faith. And when you read his biography or his story or his teaching, you get inspired from this man who died long time ago. But you can still learn from him, from this historical mentor. How many people read some book and you get inspired by those people? So you sometimes go to those book and learn and read about them. The last one we call divine contact. What is divine contact? This is passage mentor too, because it just happened only a short period of time. Sometime by the divine appointment, God will bring in a person into your life for a short period at the critical time or a needed time of your life. You may need a confirmation. You may need an advice. You may need affirmation, or you may need open door for opportunities of the ministry. And God will lead that person into you to help you for a short period at that time of your life. I give you example. The dean of a Bible school in Seattle, I believe that he is my divine contact, because God led him into my life. I never spent time with him that much. All this 20 years in Seattle, I might have met him only less than 2 hours altogether. But this man, God used to be my divine contact for certain issue that I need the answer. For example, I may need affirmation of my decision regarding an issue. One time, we as a church need to discipline a group of people. And God used this man, this dean of Bible school, to help me to look to the scripture and make the right decision. What should I do in disciplining this group of people? It's a divine contact. Or it can be encouragement. Sometimes you feel very discouraged in the ministry. You feel that you don't go anywhere. You don't succeed. You don't see the fruit of your ministry right away. Before I go on, I want to encourage all of you. In the eyes of God, success is not only about how big the ministry is. Because the Bible says that some have one talent, some have two, some has three. Different talent. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God give us different talents. As long as we use that one talent to do the best, to be faithful, to fulfill what God has called us to do. If we are faithful to finish it and get it done, in the eyes of God, he calls success. Otherwise, you're going to compare yourself, if you have only one, and you compare yourself with another man who has 100 talents, you're going to get discouraged all the time. Is that right? Or maybe your background is different. I cannot compare myself with Pastor Joe Osteen, because I'm a first-generation Christian. I grew up in a Buddhist home. I came to know God when I was 28 years old. But Pastor Joe Osteen is a third-generation Christian, grew up in the church. Watch his dad preaching for 30 years before he get on the stage to preach. He listened to 10,000 sermons before he preached. So you cannot compare. God gave him more talents than me. God gave him more grace than me. But if I am faithful to do what I am called to do, God called me, well done. You are good and faithful servant. Amen. I just studied the book of Ephesians. I'm writing the book called the book of Ephesians, the bride of Christ. If you look in the Bible, many times, many good things happen out of a small group or out of seemingly look like a failure. Look at Jesus. He looked like a failure on the cross. Everyone ran away. But out of that, millions of people get saved later on. Do you know that Pastor Benahin was discipled by a pastor in a small church in Canada? That church had only 70 members. But he was trained in that church at the beginning stage of his life. But later on, he reached to millions of people. Do you know that Pastor Rodney Hubbard Brown, he grew up in a church with only 100-something people. For all those years when he grew up with his dad, the church was only 150, 200 members. And that pastor that discipled him and his dad was not very famous at all. No one knew about this pastor. But later on, out of that ministry, out of that church, this man Pastor Rodney Howard Brown impacted so many people all over the world. So you can see that you cannot look at only what happened. But in the human level, we sometimes get discouraged because we want to see something tangible, big, something tangible, tangibly successful in the eyes of the world. Therefore, sometimes you need some encouragement. And God may pass somebody. In fact, I went to Thailand this time. I had a chance to sit down to eat dinner, late dinner, about 2 a.m. dinner over there, because the service finished by almost midnight, so we went down to eat dinner late, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I was sitting there, and Pastor Joe Cruz and Becky Cruz kept encouraging me as a divine contact that, Pastor Lau, you do the right thing. God is using you. Keep on going. God really anoint you to do this work. So don't be discouraged. Keep going. Amen. Sometimes people need to hear that. I need to hear that too, that people come to me and say, keep going. Don't give up. Don't pack your luggage and run away. Divine contact may come to you and encourage you to keep on going with the ministry God called you to do. Sometimes divine contact can give you guidance. You may need a direction at that moment of your life. Maybe some biblical perspective. You are not sure what you're going to do. But that person have more experiences and understand the heart of God more than you. So that person will give you biblical perspective. Or even give you a open door of opportunities. God may lead you to meet somebody for a period of time, maybe only one day. But that person introduce you to another person that will bring much improvement in your ministry. Kind of the middle person between you and the real person that God wants to use to help you. Divine contact again. You need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need to open your ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to do in the situation. Maybe that relationship is short, maybe only a couple of days, or maybe only a period of time. But God used that relationship to take you to the next level by bringing you to the next relationship. So divine contact can be used by God. And divine contact can turn into ongoing relationship as well eventually. And that is up to the Lord how He will lead your life. Amen. Passive mentoring, three kinds. Contemporary mentors, historical mentors, and divine contact mentors. How many people agree with me that all these things can happen to you? Can you be open that God can train you, God can empower you with all these 9 things? Spiritual guide, discipler, coach, teacher, counselor, sponsors, historical mentors, contemporary mentors, and also divine contacts. Amen. Let me read this scripture at the final conclusion of this teaching. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 together. Lately, I received more understanding of this scripture. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 22. But you know his proven character, talking about Timothy. Paul was writing about Timothy. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. In the past, I don't fully understand this scripture. But now with experiences and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, I understand that there are different kinds of mentoring. And one kind we call father and son, or fathers and daughter. In other words, some of us will look up at a person and say that he is my spiritual father, or she is my spiritual mother. It's a deeper relationship of commitment that you feel that you can trust this person. You learn so much from this person. You feel so secure. You know that this person loves you. He is an example to you. He is like your father in the spirit or in the Lord. And I understand how this happened because I can see that some people treat me that way. That they really love me. They really want to learn everything that I teach. And they really look up at me and want to help me everything to accomplish the purpose of God in my life. And these people look at me as their spiritual father. And the same thing in my life. I have some people who are my spiritual father that I look up to. And I learn from them. And today, I still appreciate these people so much. I will pray for them. I will call them and sometimes write a letter, send money to them. Because I know that without these fathers, I would not be like this today. I cannot say that every believer has a spiritual father. But I believe that a lot of people have a spiritual father. Especially if you commit yourself to a group of people or to a local church, you end up having a spiritual father that you kind of adore, you kind of respect and honor and really protect that person. And you always want to support that person. So, father and son, Timothy and Paul. In the same way, one day you grow up and you become a spiritual father and mother. If you come to that point of your life, you will really love God's people like they are your kids. Sometimes I sit at home and I think about members. And I kind of think about a lot of members of the church. And I love this person as their spiritual mentor or pastor. I love this person as my kid. This is how I feel so many years already, but I never talk like this on the pulpit. Every time I walk around and lay hand on people, when I was so full of the Holy Spirit and I look at people's face and I lay hand, it's hard to explain. The love that from God that worked through me, through my eyes, and look at that person, I just love that person so much. And not only that, the Holy Spirit kind of in me, work with me as a one person union together as one. My spirit and his spirit together. And feel like this, I want to bless you. I want you the best. I want to give you everything. I want to impart everything from heaven, all the spiritual blessing upon you. You're going to be fine. God bless you. I feel that way every time I lay hand. Even last Sunday when I lay hand on people, you feel that they are your spiritual children and I want to bless. I say, abundant life, good things. And that is the heart of God. God loves his children so much and God wants to give the best. And I understand more when the Bible says Jesus have come to give life, to give to the full. In the past, when I read this scripture, it's just a knowledge of the Bible in my brain. But now, it's like really in here. And when I look at people, God bless you. God give you. God heal you. I believe that when Jesus was walking on earth 2,000 years ago, that's how he felt when he lay hand on people. When he looked at, this is why in the book of Matthew, the Bible says, when Jesus looked at the crowd, he'll have compassion on them like the shepherd toward the sheep. The father heart, the heart of the father on the inside of a mentor or a shepherd. If you can come to that point of your life, you will love the sheep of God so much. And it's a wonderful feeling because it's from God. Amen. But I know that not everyone will grow up spiritual to that level yet. But I pray that you will grow up to that level, that you just love God's sheep so much, like the father's love. Amen. Not only father and son relationship in mentoring. Sometimes mentoring happens in the level of brother and sister. You feel like you are the older brother to that person, or the older sister, and you care for that sibling in the Lord. And you want to help that sibling to grow with you. You care, you want to help. So that can happen in the church too. You feel like a brother and sister. And also number three, you have what we call peer level mentoring. Because all of us may know certain things more than another person. And you can use your gift and your knowledge to help your peer or your friend in the church to improve in certain area. And your friend can do the same thing to you to help you to grow up in a certain area too. We help each other. Pastor Da mentor me sometime too. Pastor Da, my wife. Because certain area I'm weak at, but she can help me to see things that I don't see. So she talked to me, she give me counseling, she will kind of adjust my heart attitude a little bit, help me to see things that I don't see. You see, we mentor each other. I mentor her, she mentor me. And many people in the church also do the same thing to me as friend. They help me to grow in certain area. So we receive mentoring from father and son, mother and daughter, peers and sibling or brother and sisters. The Bible says in book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So we all can sharpen one another. Amen. You don't need to go and kind of take authority that, you know, I am a leader. I have authority over you. You need to listen to me. It's not always like that. It's about love. It's about caring. It's about meaning well for that person. It's about helping that person to grow. Definitely. People who are mature will understand about authority because God says, submit to one another. You submit not only to leadership, but you submit to one another. If you speak the right thing, you speak biblical thing to me, and I know I'm wrong, I need to submit to you and listen to you too. We submit to one another. We don't say, you know, I know the best. I'm not going to listen to you. That is the spirit of pride. We need to listen and submit to one another. Amen. And that's what God wants us to be. In this kind of mentoring that we talk about, the friend or the sibling and brother and sister, it doesn't happen to everybody because there are factors, human factors in there. We are still human and we still have different backgrounds and languages and cultures. So in this kind of mentoring, the factors that will dictate who you're going to be associated with or fellowshipping with or learning from one another, number one factor is to really accept that person. If you don't accept that person, you cannot learn from that person. You need to appreciate that person. You need to enjoy being together. You like to hang out together, spend time together. In the care group, actually you mentor one another. You build one another up, in a sense. In order to be able to help each other, you need to be transparent. You need to be open to one another. You need to be teachable and trust one another. We need to practice confidentiality. When people tell you about some secret of their life, you don't just go tell everybody else. When they say don't tell anybody, you just keep your mouth shut and practice confidential. Amen? Then people can trust you. And definitely you need some proximity. You need to spend time together, meet each other, go visit one another, spend time, go out vacation together or something like that. To be able to grow and learn from one another. I want to encourage you one last thing here about mentoring. It will be very difficult in the real world to have a lot of well-trained mentors in the church because not everyone is very experienced and well-trained. But it doesn't mean that you cannot do mentoring. You just have to start from little thing, one bite at a time. Whatever you know, whatever you learn from God, you can help other people who are younger than you. You don't need to know all the whole Bible to mentor people. You don't need to graduate from Bible school, get the diploma first before you mentor people. You don't need to be a great preacher before you mentor people. Whatever you know, you help another person. Whatever you learn from God, you can share with another person. You can share your experiences. You can share your revelation that God gave to you. You can share your character. God teach you how to be patient or peacemaker. Hang around with another person to train that person to be a peacemaker. Or you can help other people. Whatever you have, little bit, do it. And as you are faithful in doing the little things, you may not be a teacher, but you can cook, and invite that person to have dinner with you. And in that time of dinner together, eating dinner together, you can talk and mentor in an informal way. I understand that there are formal mentoring and informal mentoring. Formal mentoring means mutual commitment to learn from with each other. Like I meet certain men in the church on a regular basis. That is formal mentoring. But sometimes I meet people on a sporadic basis. That is informal mentoring. Amen. Last Saturday, I met the core group of SU student and UW student at my house on Saturday. We had lunch together. And at that time, we sat down and talked. And I mentored them in an informal way. I did not open the Bible. I did not teach any lesson. But I was talking, giving my passion, answering them the question. I mentored them in an informal way. Because I don't meet them all the time. I meet them once a while. But somebody else mentor them on a regular basis. You try to touch life as much as you can. If you are faithful in doing little things, God will add to you more. He will add more experiences to you. I have more experiences in laying on of hand than 5 years ago now. I have experiences in teaching the Bible and preaching the Word of God more than 10 years ago now. I can help another person. But if I was not faithful in training other people to teach the Bible or to do the work of God, I would not come to this point of my life. And I'm still expecting to go further, higher and higher and higher in my life. We all grow up together. As you help other people to grow, God will add to you more that you will grow more as well. As you sow the seed of helping other people to fulfill the vision and the dreams of their life, God is going to send somebody else to help you to fulfill your dream, the dream of your life. You need to be a dream fulfiller for other people. Help other people. Give, sow the seed into other people's life, and God is going to help you to reap that seed into your life, and you grow to the next level. I want to conclude this teaching. Let us obey the command of Jesus Christ by mentoring people and making disciples, helping other people to grow. If you fail in the past, people who look after backslid, they didn't come back to church anymore, or they did not make any progress, it's the Lord's deal. You sow the seed, you water, God makes them grow. You are faithful to do the right thing, God eventually will make you to the next level. Get you to the next level. Just faithful. Don't give up if you don't see the result overnight. Don't give up if you don't see people grow overnight. It takes some time for people to grow. Amen. And God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. You may mentor somebody. This person may not go anywhere that much. But that person get another person saved, and that person will become Billy Graham in the next generation. You may not see the fruit in that person, but that person, for some reason, God used that person to save another person who will become Billy Graham. Your mentoring work anyway, but in not your way. Many times I have to remind myself, my ways are not God's way. My thoughts are not God's thoughts. My job is to use my gift, use my time, my faithfulness to do what God called me to do to the end. And it's His job to make it grow. One day when I go to heaven, I look down into the earth, I look back, I will see a lot of great things that I don't even understand and comprehend. Because I have been faithful to do what God calls me to do. Amen. I want to encourage all of you to continue to disciple people, mentor people, and don't give up. And encourage all of you to continue to grow yourself. Don't stay stagnant. Don't stay the same. Repent as fast as you can. Anything that you know that this thing really bog you down, block you, keep you not from growing, you get rid of them as soon as possible. Repent as soon as possible. Ask the Holy Spirit to get rid of those things as soon as possible so that God will use you even to the greater level. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your inspiration, your teaching, your knowledge, your revelation. Father, I pray that we all who listen to this teaching tonight will practice what we learn. We will not just learn this as a knowledge, but we received impartation from the Spirit of the Chief Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pastor of our soul, so that we can go out to care, to love, to train, and to help other people to become like Christ. Father, I pray that those who listen to this teaching, either through the podcast or CD, will receive the impartation as well, that they will, Lord, practice what they hear. Help us to have the spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to the church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.